Praise God. Amen. John chapter 9. Praise God. As I was trying to sort through the scriptures that I wanted to use for the text, I could not leave any out. So we're going to read the whole chapter today. Amen. So you might have to stand for a minute longer. Praise God. It's only 41 verses. Praise God. But the whole chapter is, amen, the whole story. Praise God. So I just couldn't leave any of it out. Amen. So I just decided I'm going to read it all. Amen. Praise God. Glad for all of you that are here today. Amen. John chapter 9. I'm going to read the whole chapter, the verse 1 through 41. And if you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes. And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but why, by what means he now sees, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of that was born blind, of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and saith unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. And we want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on and bless him. Come on, bless him today. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name today. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this song. I once was blind. Amen. I once was blind. Look at your neighbor and say, I once was blind. Amen. We've already said today is Palm Sunday. Amen. It's tradition to preach on John chapter 12 and not John chapter 9, but also we find the same story of Jesus, amen, triumphal entry in Jerusalem in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19. Amen. So it is tradition to preach out of one of those chapters usually. Amen. Praise God. But even though all four Gospels give the account, amen, the quandary in all four of those accounts is the truth of recognizing Jesus' identity. Amen. We know that this is the issue here. Amen. He was declaring his messianic identity. He was declaring that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was fulfilling, amen, prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied that he would come riding in on a donkey, amen. And so this was fulfilled in Jesus' entering into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, amen. It was the promise of a king and a Messiah, but to, amen, not to establish the earthly kingdom in that moment, but to establish the eternal kingdom. Amen. It was to establish, Brother Shane, his eternal kingdom. So we see that this was not a temporary one on earth, amen, at that time. And so this is what we know that the people believed and what they felt that Jesus was coming to do. This is why they cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. They were hoping to get out from under the Roman tyranny, amen, and they believed that Jesus was coming to set up an earthly kingdom, but in all actuality, he was coming to establish his eternal kingdom. Amen. Praise God. And so I wanted to take a non-traditional approach, amen, on this Palm Sunday. I just couldn't get clearance from the Lord to preach a typical Palm Sunday message. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Not that it's not something that could be done. I could have took it upon myself, amen, and could have pulled a lot of messages out of, amen, that story out of all four Gospels, amen. But I just felt led of the Lord to go, amen, in this non-traditional approach, amen, to not focus on the event of Jesus' triumphal entry before his crucifixion, but to talk about the dilemma, to talk about the quandary that we mentioned just a minute ago, to talk about the issue, amen, of knowing the true identity of Jesus, of understanding, amen, the purpose, amen, and the clarity of who Jesus was. See, we see this revealed in John chapter 9 with the healing of the blind man who was born blind. Amen. It's imperative that we keep that in mind, that he was blind from birth. So he was born with this blindness. Amen. And we can see in John chapter 9 the revelation of Jesus' true identity. Amen. Not to be, amen, a king on the earth, but to establish who he was. A common question, amen. Now the story in John chapter 9 is not one that is uncommon, amen. We preached it here a lot, and you can look in the notes, amen, in my Bible, the side notes, amen, of the different times that I have preached on this man that was born blind from birth, amen. This man that Jesus healed in a very peculiar way. And the common question that is often raised out of this story in John chapter 9 is, why did Jesus use mud and spit to heal this man? Why is it that Jesus did this in the way that he did? Amen. The disciples immediately asked Jesus, when Jesus came upon this man who was blind from birth, the whole chapter, amen, in John 9 speaks, amen, of this event. And when they came upon him, the disciples immediately asked Jesus about the cause of his blindness. Amen. According to their teaching, according to their law, they felt like there had to be a reason behind it. Amen. It was either the man's sin or it was the sin of his parents. So they asked him, amen. They asked him, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? Amen. That he was born blind. Jesus didn't answer, amen, how they expected. He turned the focus. Amen. He didn't answer the question directly, but he turned the focus. Amen. Neither sinned, Jesus said. It wasn't, amen, a result of someone's sin. Amen. But he said it happened so that God's power might be seen working in him. Amen. So Jesus immediately shifted the focus on what they were asking. Amen. Because to them, there had to be someone had to do something to cause this sickness. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus said that it was neither, but it was so that the power of God could be seen working in him. Right after Jesus said that, the Bible says that he spit on the ground and he made mud with the spit. Amen. So Jesus took his saliva, he spit on the ground, and he made mud out of that spit. And the Bible says that he put the mud on the man's eyes, and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, amen, which is Shiloh, amen, in the Hebrew. Amen. He told him to go wash in the pool of Shiloh. Amen. That name Shiloh means sent. Amen. So he told him now to go wash in the pool. Now this detail, amen, forces the reader to take a pause. This detail of Jesus spitting in the mud, amen, in the dirt and making mud, amen, outside of the fact that it's kind of a little bit gross, right? I'm a person that, to me, spit is gross, amen, praise God. Someone spits on me, or I think when you spit at a person, it's probably one of the most downgrading, despicable things you can do to a person and their character, amen? So don't be spitting on me, praise God, hallelujah. Are you with me? At least on purpose, amen? If it happens, it happens, but don't be doing it on purpose, amen? So, but this detail, amen, forces the reader, amen, to pause, amen? We know, amen, that through other scripture accounts, because we now have to, we take pause and we go look at all the other times that Jesus, amen, did healing. Amen. We know that he can heal with just a word alone. Jesus could speak the word and healing came. We saw it happen. Amen. We see it in the account of the scriptures. He restored sight to other blind people without touch. He didn't even touch them and their blindness or their sight was restored. Jesus also healed from a distance. Amen. He didn't have to be in close proximity. Amen. To heal. We see this in the scriptures. So when we see what Jesus did here, it causes us to take a little pause. Amen. But nothing suggests in what we see of Jesus and his work and his healing. Amen. Nothing suggests that a physical method was required in order to be healed. Are you with me today? I'm just laying a foundation, so stay with me. So the question wasn't whether the mud was necessary, but the question would be why a man did the text preserve the very fact that Jesus spit on the mud? Why did the text make sure that it told us of this method that Jesus used to heal this man who was blind from birth? So it didn't establish the fact that now every blind person must, amen, have mud smeared on their eyes. Are you with me? Sometimes we can get that thinking, amen, that mindset, especially a religious mindset. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't just touch. See, the action was deliberate. Jesus just didn't decide, well, okay, I think it'd be pretty cool right here to sit in the dirt and make mud and rub it on the guy's eyes. You know, I touched and I haven't touched, and let's just pull this out and do it. Amen. The action was deliberate. He didn't just touch the man's eyes, but he formed something first. Amen. Are you with me today? He didn't just touch his eyes like he did, amen, others, but he formed something first. He used dust and he mixed it with his own saliva. Amen. So he used dust and then he mixed it with his own saliva. Now this should remind us of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This should take our mind, amen, at least for most, it would take our mind back to where God formed man out of the dust. Out of the dust of the ground, God formed Adam. Amen. Adam. Amen. Which means man. Out of the dust of the earth, God formed him. Amen. So this language of forming, of shaping from dust is already familiar, especially, amen, to those who were standing around. Amen. And if they were able to see it, they would understand it. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I once was blind. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen, Jesus did not create a person here. Amen. So we know that when we see this in Genesis chapter 2, this language of forming, of shaping, amen, from dust, amen, God created something. He created a person. Amen. But Jesus didn't create a person. Amen. But he restored what had never functioned. He didn't create something. He restored what had never functioned. See, this man wasn't losing his sight. Amen. He never lost it. He never had it. Well, there's a difference in having something and losing it and never having it in the first place and not knowing what you missed. Oh, somebody help me in this place. So God was restoring something that the man never had. Jesus was doing something, amen, that was not unfamiliar to the ways of God, and he was restoring what this man never had, which was his sight. See, the mud was not about method. It pointed to something. Amen. What did it point to? It pointed to formation. See, Jesus wasn't just correcting blindness. He was completing what had been lacking. Are you hearing me? He wasn't just correcting the blindness. He was completing what had been lacking. See, we did not know what we were missing until we realized we were missing Jesus in our lives. That's why he said, taste and see if the Lord is not good. You know why folks are wandering around in this world lost, addicted to drugs and alcohol and sex and money and greed and lust and all of these other things? Because they're looking for something to fill the void that Jesus belongs in. They're looking for something, amen, to satisfy that place in their life that belongs to God through Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. This is why, amen, they don't know they're blind. Amen. But once they realize they're blind, now they begin to see. Somebody place. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I've been found. Oh, somebody help me. He didn't find me. I found him. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't see me. I saw him. He saw me before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. Come on, somebody. Help me in this place. Before my mom and dad lay eyes on me. Amen. When I first, amen, came out of the womb, God saw me. And he saw that I needed a Savior. Somebody help me in this place. They're looking to fill that God void. He was completing what had been lacking. But this process included a command. Are you with me so far? Amen. Praise God. This process that Jesus was doing that no one had ever seen him do in this fashion before. Now remember, it was not about the method. The mud was not the focus here. Are you understanding me? He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Mm-hmm. The man was sent to the pool, which means sent. God said, go, Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. The man had to move. That was Jesus. Somebody got it. Amen. At least I'm not afraid to admit that they didn't have it till they just got it. Come on, somebody. The man had to move. Now I want you to think about this. He was still blind. He was still blind. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus didn't say, hey, you take him by the hand and lead him to the pool of Siloam. Jesus didn't take me by the hand and say, come on, son, let me take you. But he said, you, who I just put mud on your eyes. The man didn't even see what Jesus did. And he said, now I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Are you kidding me? I'm still blind. Come on, somebody. So now here is this blind man who still cannot see, who has never seen anything in his life. Mud is now covering his eyes. And I got to thinking this morning, you know, mud is heavy, right? Mud, amen, when it's, especially when it is first formed and it's wet, it can be heavy. I got to thinking about the weight that he felt on his eyes as he was walking to that pool of Siloam. Amen. The weight that he felt of that mud on his eyes. I'm wondering, what is this? What is this weight? What is this on my eyes? Amen. Praise God. But he had to walk to a specific place. Jesus didn't say, just go wash your eyes. He didn't say, go home, sit a spell, and if you feel like it, wash your eyes. He didn't say, go and get somebody in your family to wash your eyes. Go home and ask your mom and dad to wash your eyes. He said, go to the pool of Siloam. That means sent. Are you hearing me today? Amen. He said, walk to a specific place. You see, when God is doing something in our lives, he does not, amen, expect us to sit still, amen, and just wait on him to do it. Amen. He requires us to put some action, amen, behind our faith. And sometimes he will require us to go to a specific place. We want to just wander around by faith. Amen. Going here and there, going where we want to. But sometimes he will lead us to a specific place. We may not always understand that place. We may not always like that place. Hallelujah. And we may not be free. We may not be healed. We may not be delivered. We may not have our breakthrough. We may not have our victory as we make our way to the place speaks by faith. But if he has spoken to us to go and given us, amen, a specific word, you can guarantee something is going to happen. Touch a neighbor and say, something is going to happen. I once was blind. This man went blind to the pool of Siloam. And he did as Jesus told him. He washed his eyes. He washed the mud off of his eyes. And he only saw after washing. Come on. He only saw after washing. Now, you know, maybe I'm weird. Maybe I know I think sometimes things that I probably shouldn't think. But I'm thinking, if you ever saw a person who's blind, right? Most of you, they don't close their eyes typically. They walk with their eyes open. This is why sometimes you don't know they're blind until you realize they're not looking you in the eye. Right? I've seen people like that. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're blind. Like, here, you know. So I got to thinking, did he close his eyes when Jesus put the mud on the eyes? Or did Jesus just smear the mud with his eyes open? Like, how did it all take place? Those kind of don't matter, but those kind of things make me wonder. But I got to thinking, if somehow he put the mud on there with his eyes open, well, help me now. Because I believe he was already healed. Under the mud, his sight was already restored. But the mud kept him from seeing until he obeyed. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Amen. I believe the moment that Jesus put the mud on his eyes, amen, I believe the healing was there. Amen. So I got to thinking, maybe he walked with his eyes open and it was covered with that mud. Amen. Jesus made sure that the man, amen, fulfilled, because God, he already said, boys, this is not because anybody sinned, but this has happened to this man so that the power of God could be seen. Imagine that. God allowed a man to be born blind so others could see. Help me, that don't make a lot of sense. Amen. Praise God. We don't understand God's ways. But I'm here to tell you today, if you're blinded by the delusion of sin and depression and torment, amen, and the lust of the flesh and the lust of it, if you're blinded by all of that today, Jesus came that you might see. You can leave this place today saying, I once was blind. Well, hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you still with me? So, he only saw after washing, because the process mattered. Talk to neighbors, say the process matters. Sometimes I hate the process. I won't lie to you, I don't like it. Amen? Probably. I'm trying to be real, and probably 7 times out of 10, I hate the process. You know, when you grow and you mature and you realize that the process is revealing God, you learn to, you know, just like, okay, let's just go with it. But it still doesn't mean you like it. Amen. So I'm being generous. You know, I'm being nice. 7 out of 10 times I don't like the process, but more likely it's 9.99999%. Right? You know I'm telling you the truth. But the process mattered here, because the formation came first. Then the obedience followed, and then the sight came after. Come on, we want our sight first, and then we'll obey. Give us the breakthrough first. And then we can go where you want us to go, because it'll make more sense, or we can see where we're going. But you see, the formation came first. The obedience is what followed, and then the sight came after. See, that healing was revealed in steps. Amen. But this wasn't because Jesus lacked power. Because he could have just spoke to the man, and his sight would have come back to him. But this wasn't what God needed for others to see. Hallelujah. It wasn't because Jesus lacked power, but rather the encounter included participation. Don't you neighbor say, you got to join in. You've got to be a participator. You can't be a spectator in this walk of faith. Oh, come on, somebody. That means you're going to feel stuff. And it ain't always going to be good. It ain't always going to be stuff you like, but you're going to feel stuff. Amen. You're going to know stuff about yourself that you ain't going to, you wish you didn't know. You're going to know stuff about other people. Amen. That's going to break your heart. That's going to hurt. Amen. That's going to cut deep. Amen. That's going to require, amen, some emotional healing. But God said, I will take it and use it for my glory. I will make you. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm forming you. See, formation has to come first. Then obedience. Oh, God, somebody help me. Then the sight is revealed. Are you understanding me this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. This wasn't, again, because Jesus lacked power, but there was an encounter that included participation. It also formed what followed in the rest of the chapter. That's why I had to read the whole chapter, because we stop at the place where oftentimes the preaching stops, at the place where the man received his sight. And then we give a good old Pentecostal tagline. If you're blind, you can see. Jesus is the healer. Let him heal you today. Bada bing, bada boom. And half the people sitting there don't even understand who Jesus is. Come on, they really don't have a true revelation of his power. Oh, somebody help me. Now you're going to get quiet on me. Hallelujah. Amen. But it formed what followed in the chapter. Because we see that this blind man was later questioned repeatedly. Here's what I noticed for the first time when I was preparing for this message. For the first time in reading this story and this chapter in John 9 and looking at all of this, for the first time I noticed something. Amen. That he didn't begin with full understanding. He had no idea what had just happened to him. He had no clue other than his name was Jesus. There's a lot of people that know his name, but they don't know who he is. There's a lot of people lifting their hands in, amen, in sanctuary Sunday after Sunday, waving them and justifiably doing so to the name of Jesus, but they really don't know who he is. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 11. Now we're going to start jumping, so get ready to press the mouse and use your fingers. They asked him, who was this? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made mud. And he anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So he said it was a man named Jesus. He said, just a man named Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And I did what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. Why not? What did the dude have to lose? Yes, come on. You never know what you're going to lose until you don't obey. Oh, come on. Or what you're not going to lose. Come on, are you hearing me? Help us, Jesus. Later, when he stood again before the Pharisees, they asked him again. Now he's contemplating. This time he responded and said, he's a prophet. So now he's raised the bar. He's went from a man whose name was just Yeshua, which was not an uncommon name. Jesus was not an uncommon name back in the Bible, but there was only one Yeshua who was the Son of God. Come on. There's only one Emmanuel. Are you hearing me? You might get that later. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, he's a prophet. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Because it was on the Sabbath, but Jesus tended to heal on the Sabbath.
Come on.
He said, just, if you're going to rub them, roll. Right? If you're going to rub them, make them feel it when they walk away. Right? Don't just rub them a little bit and let it burn, but rub them till it has to heal. Come on. Are you hearing me? To where they don't forget it when they go home and they turn over in their sleep. I'm like, ooh, oh. Come on, are you understanding today? Because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So now they see him as a man, but as a sinner man who is claiming to be a representative of Yahweh, their God, whom they have studied and worshiped and followed every rule and regulation to the T. And they have the perfect relationship. Come on, somebody. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And now there was a division among them, because they all couldn't agree. Can you imagine that? Brothers. We're talking about covenant in division. Oh, imagine that. Have you looked on social media lately? Of all the Christian pages and all of the prophetic websites and pages, have you looked at the comments and how divided the family of God is? Nothing new. Nothing new. You know why? Because they don't know who Jesus really is.
Period.
They don't know who he really is. Are you understanding me? Again. They didn't want to believe. Now they didn't want to believe that this man was formerly blind. And now he could see. Now they go from that to this man's a liar. He was never blind to begin with. Oh, but there's people over here that said, well, we saw him. And then they asked him, and he said, yeah, that was me. You're a liar. They didn't even believe he was formerly blind and now could see. So now this man's a liar. So now they got all of this going on in the church. Come on. Somebody help me. So they say, well, let's call for his parents. If anybody knows their son, his parents should. And so they call for his parents and they ask his parents, is this your son who was born blind? And they're like, yes, that's our boy. That's our son. And he was born blind. But we don't know how he can now see. We have no idea of how this happened or who opened his eyes. Chicken livers. You would think they would just be happy that their boy could see. No. That's him. And he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who opened his eyes. They said, matter of fact, he's an adult. Ask him. We don't have to answer him. He's a grown adult. How many parents ever done that to your kid? You're an adult. Figure it out yourself. Welcome to the adult world. Welcome to adult. Little teenagers at work. Oh, I'm so tired. I have to get up at 9 o'clock to be at work by 11. Give me a break. You work in 4 hours. Yeah. Give me a break. Go to bed instead of sitting on your phone and those video games and get some sleep. You might not be so tired. You might not be so hateful. You might not be able to concentrate. Amen. You might not have that problem. But then, oh, wait till you become an adult. In this generation of culture, some of them that are still adults. Oh, I worked 8 hours. I've worked 5 days in a row. Well, bless your heart. Worked 7. And then started all over again. Come on. Be responsible for somebody else besides yourself and see how that flows with you. Oh, hallelujah. Different message, different conference, right? Hallelujah. But they said, ask him, because he's an adult and he can answer for himself. The Bible tells us why they asked, because they were afraid. Come on. Because in their heart of hearts, they believed their son. When he said a man named Jesus told me to he took spit, amen, he spit in the clay and in the mud and he put it on my eyes and told me to go wash, amen, my eyes off and now I see. They believed him. There was no reason for him to lie to them. So they believed him, but there's no way that they could, amen, agree, amen, because the Jews, God's chosen people, had agreed already. There was an agreement that anyone who acknowledged this Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, would be banned from the synagogue. So they didn't want to take the chance of being banned, so they put their left their son out for the wolves. Come on, somebody. Tell me we won't do things we thought we would never do. Look at Peter. Peter said, oh, I'll never deny you, Jesus. Jesus said, oh, boy. Watch. Because before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no. Never. But the pressure was on. Because anybody who acknowledged Jesus stood a chance of being persecuted. So at the last minute, he was like, no, I've never seen him. Not sure. Wait a minute, are you the one? Are you one of the ones we saw hanging close to him? Oh, no, not me. Somebody looks like me. Come on, somebody. Not me, God, please. Forget, don't let me have to go through this. Don't please, just a little bit. Bring me out of this, God. This is too hard. Not me, God. Are you hearing me? That's all we were going to be able to identify with him. Amen. Those that suffer with him will reign with him. Oh, hallelujah. If you're going to be a follower of him, you have to pick up your cross and follow him. Not just follow him when it's convenient. Help me, Jesus. So now they call him again. And they bring this man again. And he said, swear to God that you will tell us the truth. Think of that. They said, swear to God that you will tell us the truth. That's getting real, right? We know this man is a sinner. Swear to God that you will tell us the truth, that this man is the man that gave you your sight, but we know this man is a sinner. It was gaslighting before gaslighting was ever given a name. Come on. In other words, they were daring him to say Jesus is the one that healed him. Oh, somebody help me. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Let's look at verse 25. He answered and said, now the boy's on the side. He said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know, and I rightly don't care. One thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. I may not understand what God is doing in my life. It may not make sense what God is having me do, how God is having me wait, how God is having me walk, where God is having me to be, where God is leading me. It may not make sense, but this one thing I do know, I'm not where I used to be. I once was lost. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. He said, this one thing I know. I was once blind, but now I see. And they said, well, what did he do to you? Here they go again. Well, what did he do? He opened your eyes. Look at verse 27. He answered and said, I told you already, morons. See, that's how I would respond. You moron, I done told you once. And you didn't hear. Wherefore, you want to hear it again? Why? You want to be his disciples? Oh, now he got it. Now he got it. You want to be his disciples? Why do you want to hear it again? You want to be one of his disciples? Come on, now he really ticked them off. Amen? Go to verse 28. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Can't you see the smug look on their face? Oh, yeah. Have you ever dealt with a religious person that sat in the pew with you? Sweet Lord, sweet chair. Come on. Have you ever got a smug response from a religious person that you are in contact with weekly? Wow. I have. I was asked to, Lord, help me, Jesus. Why am I telling this? I was asked to go preach years ago at a little church out in the country that I had never been to before, and I had to go by myself. And this was years ago. I didn't quite have the boldness that I do now. And I still need more. I'm not saying that, you know, I've arrived. But I only knew I was invited by someone who was not the pastor, but recommended me to their pastor. I love these people. Still good friends with these people. But when I walked in that church, I felt like somebody took a sledgehammer and hit me square in the forehead. And I go to the front, I'm sitting there again. Luann couldn't go. I was all by myself thinking, what in the world is going on here? They're singing, everybody's doing their thing. But I could feel. I was up front, but I could feel the fire from people's eyes coming in the back of my head. I preached on Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Can't get any simpler than that. I didn't go in with some, you know, great big whatever. Didn't go in with Hebrew this and Hebrew that. I didn't go with none of that. I just went in and preached, the Lord is my shepherd. The only people that said amen to me were the two people that recommended me to the pastor. Those people sat there. Now they looked like what I was taught was holiness. You know, the women all had long hair. Nobody had any jewelry or anything. Here I am sporting my wedding ring, wearing my watch, raising my hand up. I imagine my wedding ring went. But my point is, and my friends came up to me after church and they apologized for how I was treated. They treated me horrible. I thought, this is because I was young. There was a lot of older people there, and I thought, well, they just have a problem because I'm young. But man, it was rough. I was never so glad for a service to be over. I probably preached 15 minutes. You're like, what? They apologized to me. Months later, I got a phone call. Strange phone call from someone that never called me. And this person was another pastor. And they called to apologize to me. I'm like, for what? And they're like, you remember when you went to such and such church? I said, yes. They said, well, I thought, yeah, I remember. And I don't want to go back. They said, well, I have to apologize to you because I said some stuff about you to the pastor and the people. And they probably treated you wrong. And I'm thinking in my brain, you heathen. And I'm like, it's okay. I forgive you. My point is that I've dealt with people who religiously esteem themselves higher than other people. And they present that aura. Aura is a real thing. It's a God-created thing. New Age has taken it and perverted it. But God made us with an aura. And we call as a frequency when we walk in the room. God created us that way. But when they walk in, their aura is that of the Pharisees. So he said to them, bring that back up for me. Verse 28. They said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Now go to verse 29. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as far as this fellow, we don't know where he comes from. Are you hearing me? Go on to verse 30. Now the man said unto them, this is a strange thing. Why here it is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he opened my eyes. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing him? Amen. He said, what a strange thing that you don't know where he comes from, considering what he did. Then look at verse 31. Now we know that God hears not sinners. Now he's flipping the script. He's going to use the word on them, the very thing that they consider to be holy. He said, we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears that man. So now he's gaslighting. Who's gaslighting now? Come on. Now go to verse 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Have you ever heard of any man opening the eyes of a man who was born blind? No, you haven't. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning, is it written, recorded anywhere in your Torah and in your scripture, in your oral, your Mishnah, and your Talmud? Is it written anywhere? No, because never spake a man like this man. Never was there a man like this man whose name is Jesus in all of history. Now go to verse 34. Go ahead to verse 33. If this man were not of God, he couldn't do nothing. Now what are they going to say? He used the word Adam. Not right? He took it and threw it at him. Now he's getting revelation. God's using the persecution. God's using the opposition to open his eyes. He can see, but now he's really seeing. Come on, somebody. Because it's one thing to see, but it's another thing to spiritually have a revelation. Come on, hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Now he said, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and you teach us, and they cast him out. In other words, they're like, you're a sinner, and you think you're going to teach us? Get out of here. They couldn't even give him an answer. Amen. They couldn't even refute what he said, because he used the very word that they established as their protocol for coming against him and against this man named Jesus. Amen. They said, you sinner, you're lecturing us. And they threw it out. Now Jesus heard that they threw him out, and he found him. Now here we go. This is what's been forming from this whole process. Because remember, the first time they asked Jesus, they asked the man who he was, they said he's a man named Jesus. The next time they asked him, they said, well, he's a prophet. Now, who matters is going to ask him. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you with me? I'm trying to finish this up. Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of God? Get this. Have you ever paid attention? He said, tell me who he is so I can trust him. Jesus said, you've both seen him and heard him because I'm talking to you right now. See, keep in mind, he never laid eyes on Jesus. Jesus put the mud on his eyes, sent him away to wash in the pool of Siloam. He never saw Jesus, amen, after that until he walked up and Jesus said, amen, do you believe in the Son of God? He didn't know that was Jesus. And he said, well, show me who he is. And then I can trust him. And Jesus said, you're looking at him. You're looking at him. Not only are you looking at him, but he's talking to you. Come on, somebody, do you understand? I need somebody to know today. Hallelujah. You may not know what's going on. Amen. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you know who Jesus really is. He said, you've seen him. And he's talking to you now. And it shifted. He went from a man named Jesus to a prophet to falling on his knees and worshiping. You see the full understanding that healing, amen, that process had to happen in order for that man to get full revelation of what had just happened to him and who it was. Hallelujah, because Jesus wasn't just some man named Jesus. Jesus wasn't just somebody coming, amen, in the name of God. Amen. His physical sight was restored in a moment, but his understanding was opened over time because Jesus was showing them what was God, showing them that Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen. Jesus was the second man, amen, person in the Godhead. He was the second man in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was God. He was there when God formed man out of the dust. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. He was God. Listen, here's what you got to understand. And I don't want to hang here. I'm trying to let you go. But here's what you got to understand about God. I told you, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I am fully convinced that people will not be able to have a full revelation of God's love and his purpose and your purpose until you first see him as creator. He wasn't God in the beginning. Now, I'm just making a statement. I'm not saying that he was never God.
Right,
but he was the creator. And when he created Adam, now see, help me, Father. Help me, Jesus. God already had family in heaven. There were angels. There were sons of God. He had a divine council. Remember when the enemy, when Satan showed up before God about Job? It's when the sons of God came before God and he spoke up and said, I've been trying to get to Job, but you won't let me. Come on, somebody. But God created. He already had family in heaven. Now, he was creating family to represent him here on earth. When he created Adam, Adam was created as his son. And we are ancestors of Adam. So when we were created in our mother's womb, we were created as sons or children of God. Are you hearing me? So he didn't start out to be Adam or mankind's God. He began as his father. He only had to become God, which demonstrated the judgment and the wrath when sin was allowed in by Adam. Now he went from father to God. And this broke the relationship that God had with his children that he created to. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Then why did he go down every day in fellowship with them and walk with them in the garden? So now God had to come up with a plan to restore man back to their status as children of God. See, when he created us in his image, that word image means uniqueness. So there was only, God was unique. He was a unique being, even though there were other gods. He was unique as he was the creator. And so he created us in his image, meaning that we are unique, that he created us separate and different to be his children here on earth. That makes us all image bearers. So every person that you pass, whether you know them or not, are potentially your brother or sister. Come on, somebody, and here we are in the church divided because our skin is a different color or because our financial status is a different color. Do you see what the enemy has done? Hallelujah. We are all children of God. But God said, I got to, oh, help me, Jesus. I got to do something to bring them back into proper relationship. I can't deal with this sin. He gave, amen, all of this system, praise God, because he was just leading up to, amen, the ultimate plan. And he said, let me send my only begotten son. Now listen, help me. Listen, Linda. I'm so glad you're here again today. Listen, Linda. Hallelujah. God already had other sons. Come on. You guys said amen to that. Come on. The sons of God in heaven, right? Are you hearing me, son? Or you're like, oh, you're coming off your deep end, sir. You're right, I don't want to go back. Come on, are you hearing me? But this son was unique. He was unlike any other son. That only begotten means unique son. Not just his only son, like the one and only. It was a unique son. He was the Word made flesh. He was present there. He said, now I need him to go put on flesh, become like them, and show them who I am, that I am their father creator. Hallelujah. Exactly what he did with the man blind from birth. He took him all the way back to Genesis. Amen. And Jesus had that power to create. Are you hearing me? And he formed and he restored. Are you understanding me today? Hallelujah. Amen. This, hallelujah, is what God was showing them, that this is my beloved son, that one that stands out from all the others. You're like, well, he don't have other sons, so who are you? We are sons of God, right? But how is that? Because we are now heirs and joint heirs with the one and only Son that has a, amen, he was co-creator with God. He is co-eternal like God. Are you hearing me? And then we got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who makes up the third. God is not three gods. It's one being, amen, revealed in three different personalities. Are you understanding me, somebody? Help me. Hallelujah. Are you realizing that today? Amen. Now he's showing, hallelujah, that I love you. My point is when you realize that you were originally created as the family of God, now you can bypass the judgment of God and you can now see him as a father. And once you see him as a father, the only way to have a relationship with the Father is through faith in his Son, Jesus. Now you're getting the connection. Now you can go back to the beginning. And there's no argument that he created me in his image. How do you understand that today? See, we throw Jesus at people, and they shun Jesus. We got to go back to help them understand who God is. He's creator, father. He loves you. He created you to be his child. You are his family, whether you like it or not. He created you to be his child. Now this man's understanding was open. So this carefully shows us that the need wasn't a requirement. That the need for blood was not a requirement for power. See, if I do what Pastor Jeff does, if I do it like he does, come on. Yeah. If I got to follow the program, if this thing that church grows, then it's going to be what makes our church grow. So let's put mud on everybody's eyes like that church does. Come on, you're not telling me the truth. Don't even think about asking God, what would you have us do? Come on. Are you hearing me? Not wrong with the mud. But that doesn't mean, amen, that everybody has to do it that way. The mud was not a requirement for power. It was part of how Jesus chose to, amen, to reveal what God was doing. Are you hearing me? He didn't only open eyes. So look at verse 39. I'm about to finish. Right to the end chapter. And Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Huh? Are you hearing that? Are you understanding what he's saying here? Come on. He didn't only open eyes, but he revealed the one who formed from dust was now present again. The one who was there in the beginning is now present again. I am the Son of Man. That's why he called himself Son of Man, Son of God. That's why he had to become the second Adam. Come on. Because the first one was God's Son as well. Are you hearing me? But he was the unique, only Son as such. So only this time, he's not creating humanity. He's restoring it. Doesn't need to create it again. Because God gave man the ability to procreate. That's why the world has perverted it. Two men, two women can't procreate. It nullifies God's purpose for creation. That's why it's an abomination. Not because it's a sin greater than another sin. It nullifies creation. Now, I know we've got ways of getting around that, but that's not God's ways. That's man's ways. Somebody help me. You all with me? He's restoring it. He did it in a way that invoked both movement and response. In other words, they had to obey. You can't get this. So man would not only see, but to recognize him who gave him sight. Now to really know who Jesus is. He's co-creator with the Father. Let's look at verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Again, there they go, gaslighting. But Look what Jesus said in verse 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains.
Come on.
Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. He said, if you would admit your spiritual blindness, you could be forgiven and free.
Right.
If you would just admit the fact that you are blind, and that you need to see who is standing right in front of you, but you won't let yourself see, because you see, there's a big difference in the one who is blind and knows it and the one who just shuts his eyes. And that's what they were doing. They were shutting their eyes to the truth, because they couldn't argue with the blind man. And they couldn't argue with Jesus. Jesus wasn't going to stand and debate with them. He wasn't going to write 16 paragraphs on Facebook and try to prove them wrong, call them names and all of that kind of. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You don't have to defend the truth. The truth will defend you. The truth will make you free. And whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. That's the only truth. And what was Jesus was sent. God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And Jesus commanded the blind man to go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He was sent by the one who had been sent to show him that he was God. There was no mistaking in this story that Jesus was truly the Son of God, co-creator with the Father. Doesn't it make more sense? Doesn't it should? When I got that revelation, it made me feel so much better to know that God started out as my loving, merciful, faithful Father instead of a judgmental, wrathful, you're going to hell God. He's only that when we're not in relationship with him as Father. There is now no more condemnation. Through what? Through Jesus Christ. Not through your clothes and your hair and your appearance. Come on, somebody. But your heart. I once was blind, but now I see. Stand with me as they get ready to come to the music. See, if you see the Father, or you see God as, because I'm so thankful for my heritage, I'm thankful for my upbringing, for my exposure to the truth and to the presence and the Spirit of God, but for, until I was probably 30, I envisioned God in me, my relationship with God, as he was, had a ball bat or some kind of weapon, waiting that when I tripped and messed up, bam, 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 bam. Don't you know better than that? How many times have I told you? How many times have you heard it preached? It wasn't until it shifted and I began to see him as my Father. But since I've had this clarity, maybe it's just for me, but since I've had this clarity that he started out as my Father, wow. Because my earthly father and mother, parents, loved me. But when I needed correction, they loved me enough to discipline me. And that's my loving Father. Are you hearing me? Doesn't make him not love me. It actually solidifies his love even deeper for me. Because if he didn't love me, he would just let me go and do my own thing. You know, that's the consensus now in the culture. Do whatever feels good. That's so opposite of God. And when I realized that he started out loving me, knowing me, but because of my brother Adam and my sister Eve, who's wronged me, who's hurt me, who's disappointed me, who persecuted me, they're my brother and my sister. And I love them because God loves them first. It's not always easy, and it certainly doesn't always feel right, but it's truth, and it'll keep me free. Are you hearing me today? Do you really know who Jesus is? Is he more than just the Bible character? The man started teaching, and I find it so interesting. As she was talking this morning, and I knew the message. We don't confer or talk, but she's been teaching on the case for Christ, and now she's moving into the Jesus and the difference in what religions believe about Jesus. But when you see him as co-creator with the Father, and you see him as your heir and joint heirs, he becomes more than just somebody you got to listen to. Because when you see the Father with a billy club or a weapon or something ready to beat you down when you mess up, that's how you see Jesus. And when you see the Father that way, Jesus that way, you expect the Holy Spirit to respond in that manner. And when the Holy Spirit is trying to love you and woo you and strengthen you and comfort you, you reject it because you don't feel you're deserving of it, because you don't understand who you are in the family of God. That's true identity. We've got a real identity crisis. We're going to begin studying and teaching on identity, like I said, on Thursday nights. But this man would have never seen Jesus for who he really was, nor would those around him have seen him for who he was, had God not done the things that he did the way that he did. So the power is not in the mud, it's in the process. Come on, it's not in the method, it's in the purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know who Jesus is today? Is he more than just part of the story? But he loves you, and if God loves you, so does Jesus. He has to. He's co-creator with the Father. And the Holy Spirit, which is the third personage of the being of God, is going to lead you and guide you in that truth, not in your truth. I think oftentimes, I'm going to say this and we're going to let you pray. I think oftentimes we resist God's truth because we believe our truth is truth. We resist the path to freedom because we can't see it outside of our version of what we feel should be. And if we don't feel deserving of it, we will reject it. Are you hearing me today? I once was blind. Some of you see me today, but you really don't know me the way my wife knows me. So it's one thing to see Jesus, but it's another to know him.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. They saw Jesus, the Pharisees did, but they didn't see Jesus. That's what he said to them. You close your eyes, you make yourself blind because you refuse to accept forgiveness. and freedom. So if you're here today and you're lost, you're blinded, whether you know it or not, to the love of God. That God loves you so much. He created you His child. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to urge you to come. Just lay it all at the feet of Jesus. Nobody can come to the Father except through Him. It can't be done. Because He's now the mediator. So say you're ready to worship. If you're in this place and you're lost, I want you to come. But if you're here today, maybe you're struggling with letting the love of God truly heal you. Maybe you're struggling with your identity. And even though I said it to you today, you want to get personal revelation and clarity. We're going to pray with you. We're going to ask you to come. If you need to leave, pray with you. But if you want to come today for prayer, we're going to pray with you today. Let's get ready to worship.